Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Valerie Bowling, producer of the program. Pharma Talk Radio is a nonprofit program to disseminate helpful information to those in life sciences, and in particular drug development. And this, of course, always includes patients and patient advocacy. I'm here today with Dr. Roslyn Schneider, who is the Global Patient Affairs Lead at Pfizer. Dr. Schneider, or better known as Roz, is also co-chairing the 5th Annual Patients as Partners Conference, which is happening March 15th and 16th at the Rittenhouse Hotel in Philadelphia. Roz is my very special guest today because in her role at Pfizer in the medical division, she helps drive patient centricity and integration of the voice of the patient throughout the development of medicine. I'm looking forward to having my chat with Roz around the importance of patient involvement in clinical research and how industry and patients can work together to advance medicine. So, Roz, welcome. And can we start by learning a bit about your background and how you became the Global Patient Affairs Lead at Pfizer?
Well, thank you, Valerie. I appreciate that. Yes, I started out as an internist, pulmonologist, intensivist, and I was in practice and academia for 20 years in New York before a number of things were coming together that just made me think about whether the next chapter of my professional life should be different and could still include all of the experiences that I had accumulated over the prior 20 years. And in thinking about that, I decided to explore industry and moved to Pfizer about 12 years ago now, and have been in a variety of roles in medical affairs and medicine development before this role was created about 4 years ago, called Global Patient Affairs.
And there's a good reason why it was created, and which brings me to my first question, Roz. So why is the topic of patients as partners so important to the advancement of medicine development?
Patients are who we've pledged to serve by developing medicines and vaccines to improve their lives. I would say it's beyond important. It's absolutely essential. And specifically, there are critical decisions that are being made that will ultimately directly affect the patient community. And it's really inconceivable that we wouldn't engage patients who are willing to connect with us and able to connect with us to enhance our ability to fulfill our pledge. I would say it's important so that we can ensure and have a fuller understanding of what people need based on their experiences with and gaps with existing therapies. And we need to ask the right research questions so that they're the questions that are going to matter to people. We also need people to be aware of and have access to clinical research, to have access to clinical research information so that they can then have a meaningful conversation with their healthcare team about clinical research potentially as an option for them. Right now, patients are helping us to design and run clinical research studies that are more feasible for people to participate in if they're eligible, and to understand the ways that we should be communicating results with people to inform a more shared decision-making process in clinical practice afterwards.
Now, that wasn't always the case. Is that right, Roz? I mean, can you give us a summary of how you see the history of patients as partners in clinical research? What has it been in the past versus what you're saying now, which is very exciting that you actually have patients that are helping even design clinical research trial?
Yes. If I look back for the last few decades that I've been in this profession, I would say there's been a clear progression of going from a point where patients were really outsiders looking in, much as they might through a restaurant window. And we moved that then to a time where patients were waiting in the vestibule for the hostess to seat them at the table. And now we're much more at a time where the patient community has walked into the restaurant, sat down at the table, and they're right there where the decision making and the planning is happening. I would say also there's this growing appreciation among organizations, scientists, and healthcare professionals. There's an appreciation of this idea of patients as experts. They're certainly experts in their lived experience with their illness or trying to prevent illness. And many of them also have healthcare training and experience and expertise that they've developed in addition to having their lived experience to bring in. Patients years ago who were even aware of clinical research may have viewed it kind of as experimentation that was a last resort when all else failed for them. And in clinical research, as in much of healthcare in general, patients were treated as outsiders who should place their trust fully in their doctors and other learned professionals, and they didn't necessarily feel comfortable challenging or even questioning their suggestions. There were notable exceptions, particularly in rare diseases and later among people who were infected with HIV, who became activists and demanding medicine development and access to medicines while they were growing angry and tired of watching their friends and family die. Patients educated themselves, they looked to advocacy groups for support, and they inserted themselves into healthcare as they hadn't before. And they have been influencing both the scientific and the policy landscape. The other thing that has been changing over the years is the way that information is exchanged. So as information became much more easily accessible with the internet, online advocacy, and social platforms that connect people, that really strengthened their voices as well as their access to information and also the voices of advocacy groups and expanded the ways that people could become involved. So now patients have inserted themselves into a variety of regulatory discussions, for example, as advisors and people responding to calls for public comment that's coming from regulatory agencies. In Europe and in the U.S., health authorities have strategically increased the involvement of patients. That's both in response to demands from the patient community, mm-hmm. and as they themselves have also recognized the value of patient inclusion in the decision-making process that they have in the regulatory agencies.
Very, very encouraging to hear this. What do you see as the next steps for the industry working with patients and advancing patients as partners, or that concept of patients as partners?
So we have numerous examples of patient involvement at key points in the life cycle of medicine development today. Today, though, it's not completely systematic. That's really what we're trying to get toward. So the next steps, I would say, is to take these threads of examples and weave them together so that it's the fabric of everything that we do. And we've absolutely laid down a foundation so that there is an expectation that we should be doing more of this kind of involvement and explore the different ways to do that. We have to continue to build that foundation and then at the same time also create the right processes that allow and enable patient involvement in a way that works for all of the stakeholders, and particularly patients, but also sponsors and other stakeholders. I would also say that another next step that's important for everyone is to have the right metrics to see how we're all doing. Everyone who's involved in this is investing something, time, energy, resources, mm-hmm. and we need to know that we are doing this in a way that serves the purpose that we have decided we're all trying to serve. For those groups and those people who are making those particular investments of time and energy and resource, that they understand why and how it's going.
So from your experience in working with patients as partners in clinical research, can you give us some insight into what patients want?
Sure. I can tell you what patients have told us over the years, and that is that they would like to be involved and expect to be involved early and often, and that should be an iterative process rather than either transactional or only at specific points or, at worst, as the rescue crew if sponsors are having difficulty or challenges, for example, with recruitment of participants in clinical trials. It really is to be involved much earlier on and for the long term with relationships that are trusted. And with that, they expect us to be very honest about what our missions are so that we can also understand their missions and understand where those missions align so that we're working together and that we're working with the people who want to work with us on those specific things where those missions match. And that doesn't mean that we agree upon everything. We have to be very transparent that we won't agree on all issues. It still is important that we work together as we maintain our independence. And we also have to be transparent that we may not be able to apply all of the insights that we're hearing for a variety of reasons, because those insights have to be integrated with the science, the evidence, and also the business practicality, and we are in a business. If we're transparent and honest from the very beginning that we're here to listen, we're here to work together, and we'll also consider everything and then have the conversation about why we could or couldn't apply those insights into practice, as much as possible sharing the why. So I would say the other thing that that people have told us matters to them is that they need policies that are going to facilitate that translation of research into the medicines that are going to be the right ones for them at the right time of their lives and that they'll have access to.
Thank you. So for pharma and biotech companies who want to do a better job engaging patients in clinical research, what suggestions do you have for them?
I'd suggest that none of us should try to figure this out by ourselves, either as individual people or as individual organizations, but rather to exchange ideas and practices as this is all evolving in coalitions, in roundtables, and projects where we've been working together. For example, with the Patient-Focused Medicines Development Group and the Innovative Medicines Initiatives, the Center for Information and Study of Clinical Research Participation, National Health Council, Faster Cures, Transcelerate, Clinical Trials Transformation Initiative, National Center for Advancing Translational Science, among others. And also at meeting venues, including the Patients as Partners meeting that is coming up that you mentioned. And in addition to these coalitions outside of our own organizations that we should be working together in, we also have to work together within our organizations to have platforms for sharing so that we share not only our best practices, but also really, sometimes more importantly, where we all could have done better. The if only I had known stories that we need to share with each other. That kind of sharing helps us shift the culture that's absolutely necessary for change within our organizations. And I will say that while the cultural shift is something that is necessary and foundational, it's not enough. You absolutely have to have leader support at all levels of the organization, endorsement, embracing this idea of patients as experts. And at the same time, that's also not enough. You do have to have processes in place in this highly regulated industry that we're in to make sure that we're doing things in the right way at the right time in a way that, again, all of the stakeholders think makes sense.
Roz, we'll make sure that we list all of those resources and suggestions you just outlined for us, so thank you for that. So for patients who want to get their voice heard in clinical research, what suggestions do you have for them? Where can they get started? How can they find a clinical trial that they can get involved or work with a company to be able to get involved in clinical research?
I would suggest connecting as much as possible, connecting with other patients, with patient communities. There are a number of ways of connecting with other patients. Advocacy groups that are specific to the illness that the person may have, and also umbrella advocacy groups, such as I had mentioned National Health Council in the United States, also European Patients Forum in Europe and others, and also through online communities and coalitions, and also connecting with the healthcare professional teams wherever they're receiving their care. In addition to that, I would suggest checking out resources that are available and programs that are available from projects such as the European Patients Academy in Europe that has huge toolbox of resources in addition to very specific training and webinars. But there are others that also include lots of training materials and resources, including information that's out there from the health authorities on their sites. And some of the groups that I mentioned earlier have lots of resources on their sites and people to connect with. I think the other thing that's really important that patients need to know is that patients' involvement is helping us to improve clinical research, and that should help all of us.
Absolutely. And thank you. You also mentioned Syscript earlier, which is also a wonderful resource for patients that are interested in getting involved in clinical research. So, Ross, thank you so much for speaking with me about the importance of patients as partners in medicine's development. It was a pleasure having you speak with me today. So thank you again. And Ross will be joined by Suzanne Schrant, who's the Director of Patient Engagement at the Arthritis Foundation, where together they help lead discussions at the 5th Annual Patients as Partners Conference, March 15th and 16th, at the Rittenhouse Hotel in Philadelphia. For more information, visit theconferenceforum.org. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
It's a wrap.